ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವ ಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವವೇದಾಂತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸಾರ ಸಂಗ್ರಹ, ಶ್ಲೋಕ 111. ಅಹಿಂಸಾ ವಾಂಗ್ಮನಃಕಾಯೈಹಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಿಮಾತ್ರ ಪ್ರಪೀಡನಂ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮವತ್ ಸರ್ವಭೂತೇಷು ಕಾಯೇನ ಮನಸಾಗಿರಾ ಅನುಕಂಪಾದಯಾ ಸೈವ ಪ್ರೋಕ್ತಾ ವೇದಾಂತ ವೇದಿಭಿಃ ಕರಣತ್ರಿತಯೇಷ್ವೇಹ ರೂಪತಾ ವಕ್ರತಾ ಸತಾ. ವಿ ಸಾ ದೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ಲೋಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್. Shankaracharya is discussing the 18 values to be practiced by a Vedantic student, which will contribute to Shama or Mana Shantihi. He enumerated those 18 disciplines in Shlokas 105, 106, 107. Then he defines each one of these virtues. We saw four of them already, namely Ahimsa, Swatmavat Bhavana, that means looking at all of creation as Swatmavat, oneself. And then Anukampa, Anukampa means empathy or daya, and Avakrata, straightforwardness, integrity. The fifth value in the list is in Shloka 113 that we will read. Brahmadi Stavaranteshu Vairagyam Vishayeshvanu ಯಥೈವ ಕಾಕವಿಷ್ಠಾಯಾಂ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಂ ತದ್ದಿ ನಿರ್ಮಲಂ. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಫಿಫ್ತ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವ್ಯಾಲ್ಯೂಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ವೈತೃಷ್ಣ್ಯಂ, ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನದರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ. ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಂ ನೀಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಲಿಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ವಿವೇಕ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ. ಬಟ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಲಿಸ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ because it plays an important role in mental peace. In fact, mental disturbance is actually directly proportional to attachment, raga. Greater the attachment, greater the disturbance. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita also, chapter 1, Arjuna had no difficulty in entering the battlefield. Because when he entered the field, he was thinking of Duryodhana and Karna. And when Arjuna thinks of the war and its after effects, his blood pressure rises. He has the itch to use all the weapons against them. So much anger he had. Therefore he said, it is Dharma Yuddham. He thought, I have to fight. And he came to the field. But the moment he stood in front of Bhishma, Drona and others, attachment played a role. Therefore, what is Dharma? What is Adharma? Everything was forgotten. Prichamitvam dharmasam moodachedaha. ನಹಿ ಪ್ರಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ಮಮಾಪನುಧ್ಯಾತ್ ಯಚ್ಚೋಕಮುಚ್ಚೋಷಣ ಇಂದ್ರಿಯಾಣಾಂ ಅವಾಪ್ಯ ಭೂಮಾ ವಸಪತ್ನ ವೃದ್ಧಂ ರಾಜ್ಯಂ ಸುರಾಣಾಂ ಅಪಿ ಚಾಧಿಪತ್ಯಂ. ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈಂಡ್. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಮೈ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಸಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ ಟು ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೇಯ್ನ್. ಮೈ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಕ್ಲೌಡೆಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ರಾಗ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್. ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಹೀ ಸೇಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾದಿ ಸ್ಥಾವರಾಂತೇಶು ವಿಷಯೇಷು. With respect to the entire world of objects, beginning from Brahmaji up to Sthavara, a plant, not only living beings, extended to the objects, also including name, fame, all those. So all of them, Vishayeshu, Anu. Anu, based on Viveka, Vairagyam, should be generated by Viveka actually. What? Understanding the negative consequences of attachment. I should thoroughly assimilate the adverse consequences of attachment based on my understanding. If I get detached, it is called Anu. Anu means informed detachment. In this shloka, the word Anu, that means informed detachment. Like for example, in the medical field, they say you should have an informed consent. The doctor will explain everything and he will say, you may survive or not after the surgery. Do you still want to have the surgery? Put your signature here. This is not a blind signature because of pressure from anyone. They want what type of consent? An informed consent. Similarly, vairagyam without viveka will create more pain than raga. It should be based on wisdom only. Therefore, anu. Anu indicates it is based on understanding, it is based on maturity. That is why Nachiketas rejects everything and gives an explanation to Yamadharmaraja also. Otherwise, Yamadharmaraja may think that Nachiketas is only an 8-year-old boy. What will he know about gold and all those other riches? He may reject everything because of childishness. Nachiketas tells Yamadharmaraja, note, I am Yamakataka. Whatever I say is based on thorough understanding. So, Bhavamatyase Yadanta Chaitate Ajiryatam Mamarutan Upetya. He shows maturity in Kathopanishad. We saw already this. That is why Yamadharmaraja praises Nachiketas so much in Kathopanishad. Normally, Guru is not supposed to praise the Shishya in his presence. It will create arrogance. But Yamadharmaraja violates that rule because Nachiketas shows so much of vairagyam and based on viveka. So we discuss so much of this thing because of the word anu. Anu is backed by maturity. And how much vairagyam should it be? Yataiva kakavishtaya. Kakavishta means the crow's droppings. So when you are pushing aside crow's droppings, do you think, should I do it or not? Will it be useful tomorrow? You don't think any of those. Not only that, after washing, you don't even declare to other people. Do you know my vairagyam? I have pushed aside a kakavishta. We don't say all that. Just as it is effortless, in the same way, vairagyam should be effortless. Everything should appear as a bubble or a balloon, which will break with a prick. That is what it is. So, yataiva kakavishtayam vairagyam taddi nirmalam. That is called the pure vairagyam, strong vairagyam. Previously, it seems Swamiji used to conduct sadhana camps. And there he says, through that only he got vairagyam. That's what Swamiji claims by conducting all these sadhana camps. Once when he talked about vairagyam, it seems there were some, you know, teenagers sitting in the audience. They said, because they are all idealists, they don't know what fear it is at all. So they said, what is this big thing, vairagyam and all that? So Swamiji told them, I will give you a small experiment. You can try that. It seems there were only some 40-50 members in the camp. So he told the two boys, you have to go from room to room and tell every camper that you should not go back home. You should stay here itself. Swamiji will also stay here and there will be continuous teaching. Swamiji will make sure that you will get moksha. You go to every room and then get the list of people who are really willing to stay and then want to go to moksha. And do you know what the result was? Only two people said, if Swamiji will permit me to go home for one day and come back, then it is okay. Others didn't even bother to answer. So this is called vairagya. Bahyamabhyantaranchethi dvividam saucham uchyate mrijjala abhyam kritam saucham bahyam sharirakam smritam. Shloka 114. So the sixth value is saucham. Saucham means purity or cleanliness. Purity at different levels, kayikam, vachikam, manasam, all those. First, Acharya divides it into two levels. One is external, another is internal. External is relatively easy. It is tougher than external. Internal is tougher than external. Keeping surroundings clean, that is also bahya shaucham, all that. So we cannot clean the house and put all on the road. Actually, in Bombay, there is a joke. You know, people who stay in the upper apartment, they will, you know, clean the entire house and put it down so that the lower guy can catch them. Therefore, the surroundings must be clean. The house must be clean. Not only clean, but should be uncluttered also. Therefore, cleanliness and orderliness, both are required. I should know what is where. Then the Acharya talks about the cleanliness of the body also. That is said here in this shloka. Bahyam abhyantaram cha iti saucham dvividam uchyate. Saucham means cleanliness of two types, the external and internal. And what is the bahyam? Mrijjalabhyam kritam saucham. He is talking about regular bathing by which we cleanse the body. In those days, they used mud. Even today, some of the sannyasis, they don't use any of these soaps and all. They use only a clay kind of preparation with mud, a ball kind of thing, and then it will be put across, applied all the body, and they'll take bath. So they used mud itself for cleaning the body. Now it is almost gone, that practice. In some places, they charge and make people to dip in mud, and they charge mud packs, this pack, that pack, all those things you can see in all these seashores also. Now, in the name of health, they do this and they charge people. But this was what the tradition earlier in our culture. Therefore, mrijalabhyam, with the help of mud and water and jalam, kritam shaucham, taking the bath, cleaning the body. So the principle behind is what? Our body is made up of panjabhutas and it should be in contact with the panjabhutas. Even actually in the Vastu Shastra and all those things, whether the five bhutas are available, they'll check all that thing. We have plenty of cross ventilation and sunset, sun must enter into the house, Agni, Apaha, all those elements. During bathing also, we come in contact with mud because body has come from mud and is going back to mud only. So, mrijalabhyam kritam shaucham bahyam sharirakam smritam. It is physical cleanliness. And the next one is mental purification. He doesn't talk about verbal purification here. That also we should remember based on chapter 17. The words that we use must be filtered with soap, four parameters, if you remember. So, nudvekakaram. It should not be hurtful words. And it should be truthful words, satyam. And this should be useful words. One should not be gossiping. It should be hitam. And four, it should be cheerful words, pleasant for the speaker as well as the listener, priyam. So, following these four principles, that is non-hurtful words, truthful words, useful words and cheerful words. So, that is called vak shuddhi, vak shaucham. It is taken for granted. And the next, in this particular instance, and that's why Acharya doesn't separately say that. And the next one is manashuddhi. Now, Acharya will define the internal purity in shloka 115 that we will read. Ajnanadurikaranam manasam saucamadharam antasauce stite samyake bahyam navasyakam drnam. So generally, internal purity is defined as removal of all unhealthy thoughts, which will obstruct the calmness of the mind and which will obstruct spiritual growth. We have to ward off all those unhealthy thoughts. And if you remember the 16th chapter of the Gita, he divided into two groups. He called them Daivi Sampat, positive thoughts, and Asuri Sampat, negative thoughts. Therefore, internal cleanliness is like making the mind like a garden. When you are tending a garden, you plant few beautiful flowers, which are very nice to look and which also give nice fragrance. So, you plant flowering plants along with, we also should remove all the unnecessary weeds. Weeding out the weeds and planting the flower plants, this is what gardening is all about. And convert the mind also into a garden. Daily plant Daivi Sampat. Planting is not enough. You have to watch regularly whether the plant is growing well or fading or dying out. And also make sure that unnecessary weeds are not coming in between. If they are there, we have to weed them out. Enjoy the mind like enjoying a garden. This is called Antara Shaucham. So, Daivi Sampat Vimokshaya Nibandaya Asuri Matha. So, here Shankaracharya is presenting slightly differently. He says, Ajnanam must be weeded out and Jnanam must be planted in the mind. And what do you mean by Ajnanam? If you remember again the 13th chapter, the word jnanam means all the 20 virtues beginning with amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shantihi, arjavam, acharyopasanam, shaucham, all those. So, etat jnanam iti proktam. So, may you plant this jnanam mentioned in the 13th chapter and ajnana duri karanam. What is ajnanam? Lord Krishna says the opposite of all these 20 virtues. Etat jnanam iti proktam, ajnanam etaton etataha anyata, ataha anyata. The opposite of these 20 virtues will be called in the 13th chapter as Ajnanam. And how do you find out the opposite? Amanitvam is virtue. Then what is vice? Manitvam. Adambitvam, opposite Dambitvam. Ahimsa, Himsa. So, Ahimsa is Daivi Sampat, Jnanam. Himsa is Ajnanam. So, Ajnana Duri Karanam, removal of all the opposite of the 20 virtues in the 13th chapter. Here the word Ajnanam should not be called the self-ignorance. We should be careful. Why? If self-ignorance is removed, while acquiring the qualification, qualifications are Sadhana Sajushtaya Sampati. That's a qualification. So, while acquiring the qualification itself is self-ignorance is removed, then qualified Sadhana Chaturshtriya Sampannaha will be free from self-ignorance. If Sadhana Chaturshtriya Sampannaha is free from self-ignorance, then why do you require Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam and all that? Remember, here the word Ajnanam should not be taken as self-ignorance. Ajnanam is Asuri Sampat. That should be removed. Duri Karanam, Manasam Shaucham. It is the mental purity which comes under internal purity. And between these two forms of purity, which one is more important? External or internal purity? Shankaracharya says, internal purity is more important because jnanam has to take place not in the physical body, but in the mind alone. Therefore, mental purity must be given more importance than outer external purity. That does not mean from tomorrow onwards we don't have to take bath. No, bathing is important, but don't neglect the internal one. Therefore, antashaucham. And antashauche sthite. If a person has sufficient internal purity, then bahyam, the external one, is of lesser importance, na avashyakam. It is not compulsory. With this, the sixth value is over. Now we will go to the seventh value, seventh virtue, which is called Dambha Vivarjanam, which Shankaracharya defines in the next shloka, shloka 116. Dhyana Pujadikam Loke Drashtaryeva Karotiyaha Paramartika Dhihinaha Sadambachara Uchyate Pumsas Tatana Charanam Adambitvam Vidurbudaham. So first Shankaracharya defines what is Dambha or Dambha Acharaha and then says avoiding that is a virtue. While defining Dambha, we should not mistake it as a virtue. We should be careful. Dambha is not a virtue. He defines Dambha first and says carefully avoid Dambha. Then what is Dambha? Dambha means self-publicity, self-promotion. Drawing attention of all the people towards myself, dominating in a crowd. These are all attention drawing process. It may be done either by dressing in a particular way so that everybody will look at me, at my dress. And of course, through the dress, they will look at me by wearing ornaments, drawing attention, or by talking about what all good actions I have done. According to Shastra, we should do noble deeds always, but never talk about them. Shankaracharya calls it as Dharma Dijitvam. Dhaja means flag. So, having a flag so that everybody will look at me. I have done this much donation, I have given. I have built schools, I have built colleges, I have started this and that. Thus, putting the dharmic action up above so that that everybody will see it. It's like a dhaja, like a flag. So, this self-publicity, this pomp, the show, this is called Dambha. And to draw the attention, when a person talks, what will be the subject of his talk? In English, there is a saying, he will use only three pronouns, I, me, and mine. That's what he will be using. Only these three words will repeatedly occur whenever such a person talks. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Dhyanam Pujadikam. Dhyanam. Dhyanam means all the time thinking about oneself, self-meditation. And pujadikam, puja means glorification, shodasopacharaha, pujadikam loke drashtariyeva. Shastra says, matra devo bhava, pitra devo bhava, acharya devo bhava, atithi devo bhava, that's what Shastra says. But this person says what? Atma devo bhava. He worships and glorifies himself only. So loke drashtariyeva. You know, in Shakespeare he says, some are born great, some achieve greatness, some have greatness thrust upon them. And this fourth category is this person who always assumes greatness. So, loke drashtari eva. Drashta means himself, the self, the subject. Yaha karoti saha dambacharaha iti uchyate. He is called the dambachari. Sometimes, you know, they call this, instead of say dambachari, they call it dambachari. Actually, in Tamil, they put da instead of da. Dambacharaha iti uchyate. Now, this will create a problem. Shankaracharya visualizes the problem already and he is trying to also address it. And what is the problem? If self-glorification is dhamba, then all the Vedantic jnaninaha, they all glorify what? Atma only. Yeah, Atma, apahata papma, vijarovo mrityu vishokaha, all that thing we saw. So he says, a jnani talks about the glory of self or the glory of the Atma. That means what? All the jnanis are dhambacharis. They will become asuraha. Because they are all the time talking about aham brahmasmi, aham vrikshasya reriva, aham annam, aham annataha, aham eva yitakam sarvam. These are all the declarations of a jnani. Mayi eva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam. Therefore, do you mean to say that self-glorification is right or wrong? On the other side, you say self-glorification is dhamba, asuri sampat. Another place you glorify the jnani who says, I am great. So what is the question? Is self-glorification good or bad? That doubt should not come to a Vedantic student. If it comes, what will you do? Self-glorification is good or bad? If that question comes, he gives the answer. What do you mean by the word self or I? Is it vachyartha or lakshyartha? I use all these terms very liberally because we have seen all these things earlier, lakshyartha, vachyartha and all that. So the popular primary meaning, that is the vachyartha, or the shastraic secondary meaning, the lakshyartha. The word I can refer to any one of these two. Shastra itself uses both of them. So when you use the word I in the popular primary meaning, which is called ahankaraha, the jiva, that jiva consists of what? That jiva consists of sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram, chidabhasa, the individual. And when you take the meaning of the word I as individual, no individual deserves any greatness. Because individual is full of several deficiencies. Any amount of knowledge is limited only. We cannot exhaust the storehouse of knowledge. Swami Dayananda says, even when somebody says, I am omniscient, he may not even know even the spelling of the word omniscient. So I as a jiva, if I claim any glory, it is dambaha. Because as an individual, I don't have any glory. And even if glories are there, according to Shastra, they all belong to Ishvara only, the samashti. Yadyad vibhuti matsatvam srimadurjitam evava tatta devavagachatvam mamatejomsa sambhavam. He saw it in the 10th chapter, Vibhuti Yoga. So Lord says, whatever glory is anywhere, they do not belong to the individual. It is Bhagavataha glory coming here and there. It shows up in some individuals, but it's all the glory of the Lord. Like the water in the tank flowing through different types of pipes. Pipe does not have any water. All water belongs to the tank only. So, buddhir buddhimatam asmi, balam balavatam chaham. All those things he said in the 10th chapter. And in Devi Mahatmyam also, a series of nice shlokas are there. Ya Devi sarva bhuteshu buddhirupena samstita namastasyai 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 namo namaha. If I have some buddhi, that is why I took this shloka. If I have some buddhi, that is whose glory? Tasyai. It belongs to Shakti, Mahashakti, Amba. Okay, what is the bottom line? As an individual, if I claim any glory, it will come under Dambaha. To explain Dambaha, we are saying all that. Whereas when the jnani says, aham annam, aham annataha, mayyeva sakalam jatam, mai sarvam pratishtitam, aham vrikshasya reriva, when he says all that, he doesn't use the word I as the jivatma. but he uses the word I to mean Paramatma, which is located where? That I, the Paramatma, is not only in this body, but Kshetrajnam chapi mam viddhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Again, Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, as the Sakshi Chaitanyam, if I claim the glory, that is fine. As the Stula Sukshma Shariram, if I claim the glory, it is Asuri Sampat. Therefore, Shankaracharya adds a very beautiful note, Paramarthika Dihinaha. This Dambachari uses the word I not in the Shastraic sense. Shastraic sense means what? Aham Brahmasmi. Not in that sense he is using. That is called Paramarthika Dihi, Aham Brahmasmi. Shastriya Jnanam Vedanta Jnana Rahitaha Hinaha. Without Vedantic knowledge, the Jiva, the individual, claims this glory, that is called Dambaha. He is a Dambachari. That is a Dambacharaha. So, Pumstaha Tata Anacharanam. Avoiding his mistake. What mistake? From the body-mind standpoint, never claim any glory. If I can sing well, good. That glory belongs to a particular body, which in turn belongs to the Vishwarupa Ishwara only. Jnani will never claim glory, that glory at all. So, Pumstaha Tata Anacharanam. Tata means as a Dambacharaha. Anacharanam means not conducting his life is called Adambitva. By the way, Anacharanam. So, in the 13th chapter, Amanitvam, Adambitvam means this only. In simple language, humility is a virtue. Jnani is always humble. With this, the 7th virtue is also over. Now, let us go to the next sloka, 117th sloka, which gives the 8th virtue, namely Satyam. In the 108th verse, actually, 6 virtues were enumerated. Now, one by one, he takes up, Acharya takes up. So, now, let us take the next shloka, which talks about Satya. Yat svena drashtam samyakcham shrutam tasyaiva bhashanam satyam ityuchyate brahmam satyam ityapi bhashanam. So, Satyam means speaking the truth. What is speaking the truth? Whatever is true alone must be shared with others. Whatever is not true is never to be shared or talked to others. This applies even to some knowledge of doubtful authenticity. I got, for example, some news from somewhere, but I'm not very sure about it. Casually somebody said, it may or may not be true. Until I have verified and made sure that it is true, avoid talking about it. Even if someone asks about it is better to say, I don't know. Even though I have some vague knowledge. When I share vague knowledge, the problem is the vague knowledge goes to another person as not vague knowledge. I might say, for example, I may go somewhere next week. I may go somewhere next Wednesday. When another person translates it, he will never say, I may go, as I said. He will say, I will go. After that, another one will say, therefore, there is no lecture next Wednesday. I'm joking, there is lecture. Then there is also all this WhatsApp and all those things, so many Instagram, that gram, this gram. So all this lie will just go. A vague news goes as a real news. In fact, several times I get phone calls also. Sir, I heard there is no class next week, even though I have never said so. For a spiritual student, it is never, never appropriate. If somebody says, verify or don't talk about it, one can even say, I don't know. It is not a lie because vague knowledge is as good as no knowledge, ignorance. Therefore, with vague knowledge, you can happily say, I don't know. Therefore, Acharya uses the word here. These are all Acharya's words. I don't say anything. Yat svena samyak drishtam. Whatever I have seen clearly, without any doubt, therefore, unless you are very sure about it, so samyak drishtam, drishtam by whom? By myself, svena drishtam. So that is the ultimate proof. But everything else we may not be able to see directly. Acharya also says samyak shrutam. See, seen by somebody else and shared by that person. Make sure you hear clearly before spreading it. Ask that person, are you sure? Especially death news and all that thing. When we do not know, never spread the news that a person has passed away. Poor fellow may very much be alive. Actually, there was a very interesting incident. Long ago, there used to be a very good statesperson in India called Jay Prakash Narayan. They call him JP. And one day in the parliament, it was announced by the then prime minister that he is no more. He has passed away. Just to find out after a few hours that he is very much alive. So these are all things they might happen. Someone should be very clear. So therefore, ask the question, are you sure? Have you got this information from an authentic source? Until one is sure, never talk about it. So Shrutancha Tasya Eva Abhibhashanam. Only that much to be talked about. Satyam iti uchyate, that is called satyam. That doesn't mean all the truth must be spoken. If a person is handicapped, don't say you are handicapped, you are deaf, you are blind. Don't say all that. Don't use these words even if they are true. Even truth cannot be talked about if it is going to be hurtful. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat. What are we doing? Going to do in such a situation? You need not replace truth by untruth. If truth hurts, replace with silence but not with untruth. Sometimes you might have to tell the truth for certain reasons, but if hurting, truth has to be spoken, pad it up very well. If you want to talk about somebody's mistake, first talk about that person's glory. And after talking about 10 or 15 good deeds that the person has done, then mention about a wrong one so that sufficient padding is already done. And that mistake also, say it once. Don't go on repeating it. You did that, you spoke that, no need. Mention it so that it is just only conveyed and be done. So don't go on dwelling on. So dwell on good deeds only. Never dwell on wrong things. Therefore, satyam iti uchyate. This is one definition of speaking the truth. Speaking truth is speaking fact. That's what it means. Then Shankaracharya gives another definition. In the Vedanta Shastra, satyam means Brahman. In Dharma Shastra, satyam doesn't mean Brahman. We have to be very clear. Vedanta Shastra, satyam means Brahman. In Dharma Shastra, satyam doesn't mean Brahman, it means any fact. In Dharma Shastra, satyam means a fact. What is the capital of India? If somebody asks, what's the capital of the United States? Then we should be able to say Washington, D.C. or Delhi, whatever it is. This is speaking the fact. In Dharma Shastra, facts are called satyam. In Vedanta Shastra, what is called satyam? Not Washington, D.C. or Delhi. Delhi, Washington, they are all mithya only. In Vedanta Shastra, satyam is satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. Talking about Brahman will also come under satya bhashanam. Therefore, he says, satyam iti brahma uchyate. Brahman is called satyam. And abhibhashanam, talking about Brahman also is satya bhashanam. Of course, this is a secondary meaning. Primary meaning is speaking the truth. With this, the eighth virtue is also over. Now let us go to the ninth virtue. Shloka 118. Deha dishu swaki yatvate dhrida buddhi visarjanam nirmamatvam smritam yena kaivalyam labate buddha. The ninth virtue is mentioned in shloka 106. We already saw in that shloka earlier as nirmamata, which he is defining now. Mama means ownership. Claiming such and such a thing or such and such a person belongs to me, that is called mamakara. Ahankara, mamakara. Identification is called ahankara. Claiming something belongs to me is called mamakara. And this, according to Vedanta, is a wrong notion. It is called mohaha. Why is it mohaha? Again, due to two reasons. The first reason is everything belongs to only Ishvara. The Vishwarupa, the totality. Suppose I just own a piece of land and say that this particular property of so many square feet, whatever it is, belongs to me. When we say this, remember the land existed before my birth. It was very much there. And will it be there after me or not? It will be very much there also. So in between, I come and pay some money and get some document and then I claim it is my land. And Bhagavan will be smiling from up above. Tomorrow this fellow is going to go away. Bhagavan has allowed us to use the universe. Just as in education institutions, we have got a laboratory, chemistry, physics and all that. We have got labs. We are allowed to use the laboratory when we are studying there. And when we come away, we cannot bring all those materials from the lab. Similarly, we are never owners of anything. We are only users of everything. Therefore, I am the owner notion must go away. I am the user of Bhagavan's property. And there is lease payment for everything. There is a lease period. And I have to pay the money. That payment is prarabdha karma. That is the lease amount. And depending upon the prarabdham, the thing will be available for use. The moment that prarabdha account goes, I cannot use it anymore. That is why certain limbs in the body stop functioning after some time. Ears don't hear. It means the lease period for the year is over. Like when I don't pay the money, they cut off electricity, right? Similarly, Bhagavan cuts off. That means what? It's gone. Similarly, the eyes, the digestive systems, the legs, the hands, whatever. So everything is leased out with Punya Papa. And it will be cut off any time. Better we remember that. Never claim ownership. And we cannot claim our own body. What to talk about our children? Claiming children as mine and trying to control their life? Do not do that. You can guide them. We cannot control that. Even after they complete 60 years of age, this person wants to control everything they do. All these will create problems only. Ownership and controllership are the primary cause of samsara. I am a user. I am a contributor. I do what I can. Therefore, what happens is not under my control. Many parents, they come and normally talk about it. My son wants to marry someone else. While they are planning on their own, news comes that he or she has chosen somebody else. Suddenly they find that their children don't seem to be their children, absolutely not willing to listen. And newspapers say they went to the court. And the girl is asked in the court, do you want to go with your parents or with this boy? And in front of all the people, the girl says, I will choose the boy. Now the parents feel so dejected. The girl came only now, and our boy, the child, is rejecting the precious parents for a girl or a boy who came only yesterday. Shattering experiences for several parents, all these happen. Better this shloka be remembered. Not that it is not to frighten anyone. It is just, that is a fact. God forbid we don't face such issues. But there is no rule that it will not happen to any individual. Every parent with children must be aware of this fact. And there are some parents who extend the control to the grandchildren also. Therefore, Acharya says, Dehadishu. Right from body onwards, Swakiyatva Buddhihi. It belongs to me. I belong to them. They belong to me. I am in charge of them. Iti Buddhihi. Buddhihi means attitude or bhavana. Not ordinary bhavana. Dhrida Buddhihi. Very strongly that Buddhi is there. So, Dhrida Buddhihi Visarjanam. So, when that comes, then we have to remember the monkey example that we saw earlier. Monkey with peanuts with the hand in the pot which is fixed on the ground. And the peanuts are there in the hand, so the monkey is not able to pull the hand out. We already explained this situation earlier. The fist is big because it has peanuts in them. And it is not able to take it out because it's a narrow neck. The owner comes and he gives the beating left and right to the monkey. And if monkey really wants moksha, what it should do from the beatings? It has only one way out. Na karmana, na prajaya, tyage naike. So only amritattvam, only by tyaga. Remember, we are all descendants of monkeys. We are also doing the same thing only. Therefore, Bhagavan will give regular thrashing if we don't develop nirmamatvam. So by viveka, we drop, that is intelligence. If we don't drop through viveka, Bhagavan will give us painful experiences. Some people require such experiences perhaps. So, dhrida buddhi visarjana. Visarjana means giving up, renunciation. And what is nirmamatvam? We have said this before. Wherever ahankara and mamakara are there, all the ragadveshas are centered on aham and mama. Because my children's ragadvesha becomes my own ragadvesha. My grandchildren's ragadvesha becomes my own. Wherever mamakara is there, ragadvesha will get transferred from there. Therefore, with a big family means I have not only my ragadvesha, I have also added everybody's ragadvesha also. And more the raga dvesham, the more the anxiety it is, because events need not respect my raga dvesha. Bhagavan never acts according to my raga dvesha. Bhagavan goes by what? Only punya papas. According to karma, he will ruthlessly give experiences. He is karma paladhata. He has to, because he is karma paladhata. So the earlier we learn, the better for us. Therefore, nirmamatvam smritam ena. Whoever follows this nirmamatvam, buddhaha, kaivalyam labate. Buddhaha means such an intelligent, Vedantic, mature student will get moksha kaivalyam. Aham brahmasmi iti jnanam. If mamakara is not handled and Vedanta alone is studied, what happens? Vedanta becomes only an academic exercise, intellectual knowledge. I know what is Tattva Bodha, Panchakosha Viveka, Avastatraya Viveka. I know all that. I know them by heart also. I can tell others also. What about oneself? I am worried. Worry and knowledge will coexist with Aham, Mama, Raga, Dvesha. This is called Dushta Chatushtaya. Aham, Mama, Raga, Dvesha. This dushta chatushtayam. This is, if this dushta, these four things are not handled, jnanam and sorrow will coexist. So Acharya says, only by avoiding these four, buddhaha kaivalyam labate. A person can attain moksha, kaivalyam. Shloka 119. Guru Vedanta vachanaihi nischitarte dridasthitihi Tateka vritya tat stairyam naichalyam natu varshmanaham. So the 10th virtue listed in Shloka 106 is called stairyam. Stairyam means steadiness, steadfastness, remaining unwavering. And Acharya says that steadiness can be of two types also. Like cleanliness can be of physical and mental cleanliness. Steadiness also can be sharirasya stairyam or manasa stairyam. Which one is more important? By practicing yoga abhyasa, I may be able to get steadiness at body level. There are some people who can sit for 1 hour without changing their posture. In meditation, 2 or 3 hours also. By practice, physical steadiness can be attained. It will be useful also, so that one can forget the body and do shravanam or puja, etc. Physical steadiness is useful, very, very true. But what is more important is mental steadiness in spiritual path. It is not practiced now and then. It is a consistent and systematic study. Consistency is important in Vedantic spiritual path. I am never distracted by any other thing, because for me that is the primary thing. Therefore he says, nischitarthe. In the Vedantic teaching, artha means message, the teaching. Nischitam, which is arrived at. Namely, Jnana Yogaha, Guru Vedanta Vachanaihi Nischite. That which has been arrived at with the help of Guru Vakyam and Shastra Vakyam. They are complementary. Guru minus Shastra is not Guru. Shastram minus Guru is not Shastram. You should be very careful. Guru minus Shastra is not Guru. If Guru says all his things without the basis of Shastra, he is not Guru. Shastram minus Guru is not Shastram also. Each one gets the status of it only because of the other. It is like husbandhood depends upon what? Wife. How can a person be a husband without a wife? Therefore, Guru and Shastram both become meaningful only when they go together. Therefore, Guru Vedanta Vachanehi Nishchitarthe, Dridasthiti in Vedantic teaching, trying to remain in teaching as often as possible. Initially, I give separate time for Mananam and Nididhyasanam without giving excuses. And after I spend some time, knowledge enters my subconscious mind. Once it enters the subconscious mind, thereafter there is no more problem. Because whatever I do, in the background, I know this teaching. We used to call this Thayi Bhavaha when we talked about all these things long ago. So therefore, in simple language, commitment to the teaching is called Sthairyam. So Dridasthitihi. Of course, this does not refer to Jnana Nishta. We should be careful also. This Dridasthiti should not be confused with Jnana Nishta. Why? We are talking about the qualification of the student. If the student himself is a Jnananishta, he need not go to Vedanta at all. Therefore, here sthairyam is not steadiness in knowledge. He is only getting the qualification for studying Vedanta. Therefore, remember, it is commitment to the teaching. And tadeka vrithya, it is there in the back of the mind all the time. Such as our family members are there in the back of the mind all the time. You don't require nididhyasanam for that. You don't require padmasanam, pranayama for all that. Pasyan, shrinvan, sprisan, jigran, all that. All of them, we don't have to crowd the mind. We should get nishta in the teaching like that. So, tadeka vrithya, that's sthairyam, naischalyam, that is called sthairyam or naischalyam. Nischalatvam natu varshmanaha. Not the steadiness of the physical body. Varshmanaha means sharira. Steadiness of the physical body may be useful, but it is not compulsory. If a person has got physical steadiness and a wandering mind, is it better? No. Or if a person has mental steadiness and wandering legs that are moving all over, between these two, which is better? Mental steadiness alone is better. We can do perhaps one more shloka. Shloka 120.
Vidyaishwaryatapo-rupam kulavarnashramadibihi sanjata ahankritistyagaham tvabhimana visarjanam.
The 11th virtue mentioned in Shloka 106, Abhimana Visarjanam. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, it is called Amanitvam. And Abhimana Visarjanam, both are one and the same. Abhimana means pride because of various factors, pride, vanity. We can call it superiority complex. These are all called abhimanas, which can come because of several factors or several reasons. Acharya gives a few reasons here. Vidya. Vidya means education. This is called vidya garvam. Because of high education, degrees, I got so many degrees, I feel I am superior to others. That is one cause of pride. Then aishwaryam. Generally, people understand aishwaryam as prosperity. But really speaking, aishwaryam does not mean prosperity alone. Aishwarya bhavaha, aishwaryaha. To be the master of a group, a leader, a controller, governor, is called aishwarya. So it can be roughly translated as power caused by position. Because of my position in a corporation or in any group, I have got certain powers. That power can go to the head. That can cause pride or arrogance. That's why we always try to say, keep the head on the shoulders only. Never let it go to the clouds. So, aishwaryam is power. And then tapaha. Tapaha means various religious disciplines or austerities that one practices, like upavasa, ratri jagranam. Now, Shivaratri is coming now. Vaikuntha Ekadashi just passed. So, all those days we do jagranam. So, if I keep myself awake, some people walk to the temple and even to Tirupati, Palani and all those places, they walk all the way. People climb all the hills. Even recently when I went to India, I climbed that 600 some steps in a hill called Thirukkalkundram. So some people walk to Badri, Kedar and other places. And some people walk without chapels also to those places. These are all different types of austerities. Austerities are very useful for developing titiksha. It is very good. But we should be very alert not to allow them to get into our head and leading to pride or arrogance. Therefore, tapaha means austerities. Then rupam. Rupam means the personality, beauty. I am Miss Beauty, I am Miss World, I am Miss whatever it is, Mr. Beauty. So that rupam also can be a cause for pride. And kulaha. Kulam means family. A person might belong to a family of great people, parents or grandparents who have accomplished a lot. And even though I don't have anything, I just go on telling them, I am the grandson, great-grandson of so-and-so. So, pride due to family abhimana, kula abhimana. The word abhimana must be used with each one of them. So, vidya abhimana, aishwarya abhimana, tapa abhimana, rupa, kula abhimana, all that. And varna. Varna means the group or the jati that a person belongs to. Brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, all of them. Claiming I am a brahmana, I am a brahmanatva abhimana. That is one. Ashrama abhimana. The four ashramas, brahmacharya ashrama, grahastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, sannyasi ashrama. So sannyasi can also lead to an abhimana because it is said that everyone should do namaskara to a sannyasi, irrespective of what he is. The very ashrama deserves respect. So even though it is the duty of others to give respect to a sannyasi, sannyasi should not say, do namaskara to me, I am sannyasi. So, and he cannot demand it. Therefore, sannyasi abhimana can be another abhimana. Adibihi. Adi means etc. So all these and other reasons, sanjata ahankriti. Ahankriti means ahankara, pride, ego. So sanjata ahankriti, tasya tyagaha. Renunciation of them by remembering the 10th chapter of the Gita. Whatever glory I have, if at all, vibhudi yoga. If at all of them belong to Ishvara only. I am only a pipeline through which Bhagavataha glory is manifesting. I cannot take any credit for myself. I should be humbled for whatever I have. This is ahankriti tyagaha. Renunciation of ahankara and mamakara is abhimana visarjanam. And the best method of abhimana visarjanam is moving with some other people who have everything more than mine. If I have, for example, 2 PhDs, then move with someone who has 4 PhDs. Then I will know compared to him, I am nobody. When we move with somebody who is less, then naturally they will look up to me. So have friendship with someone who have accomplished more. That is the easiest way to gain humility. Abhimana visarjanam. Our humility is a very, very important virtue. Shloka 121 and 22. Tribhis chakaranai samyak hitva vaishayiki kriyam swatmaika chintanam yatad ishvara dhyana miritam chaye vasarvada vaso brahma vidbis sahastitihi. The next two virtues here, value 12 and 3 according to shloka 106, is what are these here? Ishvara dhyana parata. That is the 12th value in that 106th shloka. And Brahma Vidbihi Sahastiti is the 13th. So both of them have been defined here. In fact, it is very evident. Ishvara Dhyanam means meditation upon Ishvara, which is otherwise called Upasana. And this Ishvara Upasana is the intermediary discipline between what? Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. In fact, Dhyanam is the corridor, the linking factor which connects Karma, which is total extrovertness, and Jnana Yoga, which is total intromittedness. So for an extroverted person, suddenly turning inwards is not that easy. From Bahirmukhatvam to Antarmukhatvam, the transition cannot take place suddenly. Therefore, we have got a corridor in between, which is called Upasana Yoga. So in Upasana Yoga, what happens? What I do is gradually reduce the extroverted physical activity and replace those physical activities with what? With mental activity called dhyana, which will be very, very difficult. Only when someone attempts, one can understand that. Sitting for 5 minutes and keeping the mind in one field will be extremely difficult. Then only we will know how wavered our mind is. In fact, we come to know that only when we try it out. And Ishvara dhyana itself has been defined in different stages. First, Eka Rupa Ishvara Dhyana. We have seen all that thing in various lectures. Then Vishwarupa Ishvara Dhyana. Eka Rupa Ishvara is Ishta Devata. Vishwarupa Ishvara is the Virat Devata. And before both of them are doing the practice of them, one of the practices is Manasa Japam. Japa is also a wonderful method of quietening the mind. Taking any mantra and learning to sit for 5-10 minutes, initially reciting or repeating the mantra loudly. Loudly means loud enough that I can hear. Thereafter, stop using the tongue and continue the repetition manually without any other job mentally. So mind should not do two jobs. Mind is used to multitasking. And so on one side, it will repeat. On the other side, it will be worrying. Completely stopping the mind from all other activities and employing the mind solidly in the Manasa Japa. We need not think of the meaning, we need not think of the deity also, totally focus on the word, the mantra. Various forms of upasanas, Manasa Japa, Manasa Puja, Manasa Parayana, all those. All these, they will be very, very useful for disciplining the mind, making the mind my instrument. Initially, what do you find? We are the instruments of the mind. Mind is the boss. When the mind decides to worry, I worry. When the mind decides to get angry, I get angry. Normally, the mind is the boss. I am dasaha. Can this relationship be reversed? Reversing this mind relationship is upasana. And this upasana has to be practiced for some time. And once the mind is sufficiently ready, then jnana yoga can be given more importance. Upasana pradana life to jnana pradana life. Shravana manana pradana. Having done sufficient shravana mananam, again we have to enter into dhyanam. But after shravana manana, the meditation is of again two different types. And what are that? In the beginning stages, dhyanam is dasoham dhyanam. I am dasaha. Ishvara is Swami. I am dasaha, his servant. Ishvara is different. I am different. Ishvara is big. I am small. This is the meditation during upasana. And then after shravana mananam, we have to convert that meditation into abheda dhyanam. Dasoham should be replaced by soham. So one before shravana mananam is dasoham. After shravana mananam it becomes swatmaikam chintanam. He is talking about the nididhyasanam after shravanam mananam. Meditation upon the self is the ultimate Ishvara dhyanam. This Eka Rupa is beginning one, Vishwa Rupa Dhyanam is the intermediary one, and Atma Dhyanam is the ultimate Ishvara Dhyanam, because Ishvara is ultimately none other than Atma. Lord said in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Atma Gudakesha, Sarva Bhuta Shayastitaha. So this is a very important discipline. And the next one is, in the third line, the 13th value called Satsanga is highlighted. This is also considered to be a very, very useful discipline, because mind is influenced by our association. With whomsoever we constantly move, his character will rub us off. Just as you keep a flower in your hand for 10 minutes, the hand will have the vasana, even after you put away the flower. Therefore, in every relationship, there is an exchange of character. And if you have got satsanga, satsangatve nisangatvam, nisangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischilatatvam, nischilatatve jivan muktihi. Therefore, he says, sarvada brahma vidbihi vasaha, being associated with the brahmajnani or brahmajnani naha. Acharya says, satsanga with brahmajnani naha, if they are available. And if brahmajnanis are not available, we don't even know also who is a brahmajnani. The fellow sadhakas, they also will have such a relationship, because when co-seekers join together in a discussion, it is Saha Brahmachari Sanyoga. Among the co-students, it is called support group for everything. In fact, they are suggesting support groups for everything. Suppose a parent has got a child who has some physical challenge, mental challenge. Naturally, the parent will feel diffident on how to handle that child. One of the suggestions they give is to have association with other parents who also are in similar situations, so that they can mutually understand, share each other's difficulties and methods of handling. We have got support groups in every field, Alcoholic Anonymous, all that. That means what? Among drinkers, there is a support group. If support group is possible everywhere, then why can't we have support group among the Vedantic students also? Exchanging ideas with the promise that it will never be used for gossip. Very, very important. Such an important support group will be a replacement for Jnani Sahavasa, if Jnani Naha are not available. Suppose you say both are not available. The next satsanga being in touch with the writings of Mahatmas through the literature available, even though they existed several centuries ago. For example, when we are studying now Sarva Vedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha, we are in satsanga with whom? With Adi Shankaracharya himself, even though he lived centuries ago. Read their books. Therefore, chaya iva. Chaya means like a shadow. Follow them. Sarvada brahma vidbihi vasaha. It is called brahma vidbihi sahasthiti. With this, the 13th value is also over. Now we will see the 14th value in Shloka 123. In the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya yaparasamaheshwaraha. Sri Krishna Atmanamastu. Narayana.